All right. Good evening. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Had a good morning. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Dear Father, we love you and so thankful that you love us. And God, I pray that you might bless the service tonight, that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word. God, I pray that each one of us might take heed and God, that we might listen and we might be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I do pray for those that are sick and a lot that are out, God, that you might meet the needs on the hearts of your people and sickness and that you might raise them up, but meet with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Turn to page number 20. When I See the Blood, pass over you. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of this one tonight. Page number 20.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there. Who hath rejected, who hath refused? O sinner, hasten, let Jesus in. Will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. On the last, oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love, Jesus of power, Jesus is true. All who believe are saved from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Thank you. You may be seated. And turn over to page number 424. Oh, come all ye faithful. We'll sing all three verses of this one tonight. Page number 424.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Exaltation, oh, sing all ye bright host of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. On the last, yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
December and first day of December, so I know we have some birthdays. So if you have a birthday, come on down. My wife's birthday, and I won't tell you her age, but she's under 60, between 50 and 60, and the two numbers are the same. But anyway, you want me to put your 55 cents in, honey? 55 cents in? Oh, thank you. All right, Jessery, Ethan, Jerry Spinagle, Crystal Ferret, William Burris, Edie Smith, Nicole Vance, Judy Paget. Your name's still on the, yes, it's still on the, it's still on the calendar. Curtis Sanborn, Crystal Ferret, Walt Kuykendall, Nedra Ross, Warren Glore. Where's Brother Glore? Will you go in and get him, please? Hey, Crystal. 31? 36? 36. Miss Judy. All right. Man, we're hitting the jackpot tonight. Woo-wee. Got a lot of coffee money now. Brother Martin, when's your birthday? Yeah. Your wife's got some. She's got plenty. Your birthday is December 10th, right? The 11th, right. Thank you. All right, Brother and Sister Glore. Tammy Glore is the 14th. Brother Glore is the 22nd. All right. Come on, Brother Martin. Go get a $10 bill from your wife. All right. All right. What's that? Oh, the students? She's going like this. Is it Katie? Right? When's your birthday? February. Are you going to be here in February?
Maybe.
You better come up. Better come up. Get a $10 bill from Nathan. No, come on up. Your sister, come on up. Her too. Nathan, when's your birthday? October. Did we do yours in October? Does everybody remember us doing Nathan's?
No.
Come on up, Nathan. Isaac, when's yours? Huh? August? Were you here in August?
No.
He will be. Rebecca, when was yours? October. Were you here in October? I think both of you better come up on a beam and stand up here. We got to line it up here. Let's see. We're going to have more people up here than we there. All right. Is that everybody? All right. All right, well, let's sing happy birthday to this wonderful group. Uh-oh, we don't have a piano player. Okay, ready? Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you and you and you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Thank you very much. And any anniversaries? I don't see any anniversaries. Okay. All right. I think I put a bulletin here. All right. Announcements. Ladies meeting tomorrow night, 6:30. And I hope you ladies can come out and have a great time at 6:30. Wednesday night, Bible preaching and prayer, Patch Club. Saturday, bus visitation, Operation Saturation. Encourage you to come and go with us. A couple of hours of your time. We knock on doors and leave tracks, invite people to church, and then the adult social. We'll have a sign-up sheet Wednesday night. Just need to know how many are coming so we can prepare adequately for you, but we'll have a full course meal, some gifts for you, and all you need to bring is a white elephant gift, something that you have laying around the house that you don't use anymore, and wrap it up and bring it. We'll have a great time. Rest of these on here, the itinerary for the rest of this month, going to get busy, especially next week. We'll have that, we'll have Christmas Sunday, or the program on the 15th, and then Christmas Sunday will be the 22nd, and we will have a Christmas Eve service, and we will have a watch night service, so don't forget that. Thank you to the men who helped with the shields, and then praise God for the roof money, praise the Lord. And that was an answer to prayer, and we thank God for it. So let's all stand, have a time of fellowship, and we'll take the offering tonight.
Darius is mad.
All right, find your place. All right, find your place tonight. A lot of sickness still going around. Sanborns, Nancy Woody, Shirley Newman, the Hestons. So please pray for those. They get over their sickness and be back with us. And so we're glad you're in the house of the Lord tonight, looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless this offering. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you tonight. So thankful for all that you've done for us. I pray that you might be with our service, dear Father, that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word. God, speak to our hearts. Thank you for the offering that will be given. Help it to be used for thy honor and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's people said? Amen. When will that take place? When we all get to heaven, right? There won't be any sun, any moon. The Lord will be delighted. So let's all stand. Turn to page 56. When we all get to heaven, and we'll just sing all four verses of this one tonight. Page number 56, all four verses of When We All Get to Heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
On the last.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the street of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Ungrateful am I for so many things, like the Father's tender mercies every day. And though I owe my life to the cross where Jesus died, I often fail to stop and give Him thanks.
How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear His mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see His bleeding hands and not feel responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say thanks?
He was beaten beyond recognition. Then a crown of thorns was pressed into His brow. His back was torn apart to pay for all the crimes I've done. So you think I'd take the time to humbly bow?
How could I look upon the cross and not say thank you? How could I hear His mother cry and not feel ashamed? How could I see His bleeding hands and not feel responsible? How could I look upon the cross and not say thanks. So I will look upon the cross and not say thank you. I will magnify the power of his name.
I will
take a stand for Christ, for he is the Lord of all. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I will look upon the cross and I'll say thanks.
I will look upon the cross
and I'll say thanks.
I'll say thanks.
Amen, 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 amen. Love that song. Lord. Talk about Jesus, talk about Jesus, talk about Jesus. I just handed my father-in-law a 3x5 note, and I said, I just wrote down some thoughts for you to preach about tonight. And he looked at it, and he says, "So," and it was all blank. So he wrote back, he said, talk about Jesus, intro, talk about Jesus, point number one, talk about Jesus, point number two, talk about Jesus, point three, talk about Jesus, and conclusion, talk about Jesus. That's the kind of message I want to hear, amen? But I love that song because it says, how can I look upon the cross and not say thank you? But then the last part, it says, I will look upon the cross and say thank you. And let's not think about it. Let's just do it. Amen. And thank you for the cross. Well, we are very blessed. I'm very blessed. I had a wonderful mom and dad. And then I married into a family that's above most, and love the Martin family in a special way. And brother and sister Martin, I call them Paul and Ma, but that's just, is that okay? Okay, that's okay, that's okay. But I love them a lot, very much, and been a part of their lives, I think, for 30-some years now, and still love their daughter. I picked the best one, by the way. I got the best out of the whole litter. Anyway, but I love the Martins, and I love brother Martin, and he's a man of God. And he pastored for many years, almost 25, just in Kerrville, and still loves the Lord, still preaches about Jesus, amen? And it's an honor to have them tonight. So, Brother Martin, you come and preach to us tonight. I think it's an honor to have you.
That was a great choir special. That was beautiful. Let me turn on this here thing. Batteries dead, but they gave it to me anyway. That was a beautiful choir special. And then hear those four guys sing. I didn't think anything that pleasant could come out of guys that look like that. That was nice, amen. All right. Genesis chapter number one. I'll make it easy for these guys to find, amen. Genesis chapter number one. It's good to be here tonight. Amen. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We're still having a good Thanksgiving. And turkey never had a chance. Amen. Bless his heart. And bless his gizzard. Turkeys have gizzards, I guess, don't they? Yeah. Let me clean these glasses a little bit here so I can see. Oh, man. Okay. That was a mistake. Amen. Won't we stand together as we would tonight? We'll read a few verses together and get started. Amen. The Bible reads in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the dark from the light, divided the light from the darkness, and called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. He goes down to verse number 8 after he does another great work, and he says, and God called the firmament and heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse number 13, after doing more work, the Lord said, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse number 19, after more miraculous work, the Bible says that the evening and the morning were the fourth day. In verse number 23, the Bible reads, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. In verse number 31, the Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I want to preach tonight on the subject, the evening and the morning make the day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, and pray that you might bless this time together. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for the good spirit and the great singing, and pray that thy will be done during this time of preaching. Pray that you be with those that are home tonight that would love to be here but cannot. Pray that you'd encourage them, bless them, bring them back soon if you would. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. It's the evening and the morning make the day. The Bible teaches us in many different methods, if you will. It teaches, number one, by commandment, thou shalt not. It isn't long in reading the scriptures, Old and New Testament alike, before you realize that there are some things that we are supposed to be doing, and there are some things we're not supposed to be doing. And the Bible gives us very clear, explicit instruction about that. The Bible not only teaches by commandment, but it teaches by instruction. A tremendous amount of instruction in the scriptures. Proverbs is a great book of wisdom and instruction. And every book has profit in it because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable. And then the Bible not only teaches by commandment and instruction, but also by example. In fact, the New Testament says of the Old Testament, it's given to us for an ensample. And we look at the Bible for ensamples, for examples on how to live and how other people have lived and nations and so forth. The Bible not only teaches by commandment and instruction and example, but also by experience. We can learn through experiences in life, and the Bible will guide us in those experiences, if you will. But in this text, it teaches by principle. Here's a biblical principle for our lives as Christians, and that is it's the evening and the morning that make the day. Now, we have a propensity to turn God's word around, whether realize it or not, even in our life. And with us, it's the morning and the evening make the day. It's not unusual for us to say we start out in the morning, and now here it is at 6:30 in the evening, and now we're towards the end of the day. But the Bible says, no, it's the evening and the morning make the day. The Bible starts out in the dark and ends up in the light. It starts out in the hard times and ends up in the blessings. And so we look at things backwards sometimes. We say, well, Sunday's the first day of the week, and we'll start out in the light and end up in the darkness, but the Bible says, no, it's the evening and the morning that make the day. For example, we look at the lives of different people in the scriptures, and we see this very clearly. We can look at the life of Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham was instructed to take his son, his only son Isaac, and offer him up for a sacrifice. That must have been quite an evening, quite a dark hour for Abraham. Can you imagine taking your son, your only son? You can imagine it. An offering for an offering. I know his sisters would be willing to offer him for an offering, but can imagine taking your son and offering him for an offering and tying him and taking a knife and getting ready to slay him and give him to the Lord as an offering, and the Lord speaks to him from a burning bush and stops him and Moses from burning bush, but has a lamb caught in a thicket and provide himself as a sacrifice and of the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. But that evening, in Abraham's life right then, when he thought he was going to lose and even have to take the life of his only son, must have been a very challenging, hard thing for a dad. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but you can almost hear his heart rate increase. You can almost see his pulse pick up. You can almost see a tear in his eyes and a quivering in his voice, perhaps, as this evening of darkness in his life, having to take his only son and offer it unto the Lord. It wasn't that he didn't love the Lord, because that's why he was offering him. But the darkness of the hour of offering up your son must have been a dark hour. But it ended up in the light. It ended up in the light because the Lord had this ram caught in a thicket. And here's an example of Christ in the New Testament and how the Old Testament is this example and is looking forward to Christ as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist proclaimed when he was baptizing in the river. So it's the evening and the morning in Abraham and Isaac's life, where he started out in the evening in the darkness and ended up in the light. Can you imagine Joseph, if you will, being sold into bondage by his brothers? Sold into bondage and slew an animal and put its blood on Joseph's coat of many colors and put him in a pit and sold him into bondage into a caravan. He went down into Egypt. Imagine when they went home and gave this coat to his mom and dad. It was covered with an animal's blood and lied to him, made him think that he was slain by this beast, and he wasn't. And his pride had swelled up in his brothers' lives. We've gotten rid of him. We got rid of the favorite one. Boy, the darkness of the evening in the life of Joseph's mom and dad must have settled in really heavy upon him. But it ended up in the light all these years later while in Egypt. He became in control and authority in Egypt just under Pharaoh. And how in the last chapter of the book of the Genesis, verse number 10, the Bible says that God used Joseph to save much people alive, that his brothers meant it for evil, but that God meant it for good. And this darkness in the life of Joseph's life ended up in the light of God's word, and God saved him many souls. Can imagine Noah there, that great preacher of righteousness, Hebrews calls him. And for all those years, they're building an ark, and he's preaching righteousness, and people come by and hear him preaching the righteousness of God and wag their heads at him and mock at him probably. And maybe he sits around a campfire at night, I don't know, and talks to his wife and says, I don't know about this thing of building a congregation so far, and we've only got 8 total. After all these years and the darkness of the hour, and then the flood comes, they're put into that ark, and God shuts the door and closes them in where they can't get out, and no one else can get in. Can you imagine as the waters of sin and people are climbing, maybe scratching on the sides of the ark, screaming to get in, to be saved, if you will, and there's nothing that he and his family can do about it, and here, knowing these people are dying one by one, the darkness of that hour of humanity dying because of the wages of their sin being death, in the darkness of that hour taking place, and yet the Bible says that ark was Christ, and then the light of the gospel comes into the New Testament. You see, it's the evening and the morning that makes the day. Can imagine Job and all his trouble tonight, amen? There's a man that feared God and eschewed evil, and he prayed for his family every day. Do you? Every day he prayed for his family, and yet all this trouble came upon him. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost all his possessions, he lost his livestock, he lost his health, he lost the confidence of his 3 friends, lost the confidence of his wife, and he's sitting there in the ash pit of life and all the darkness coming up upon Job at that hour, and then the light of the gospel somehow reaches his heart and he says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I will one day see him. Well, what a blessing it is to see that great example for us that no matter what we go through, if it's of the Lord, then someday we'll see the light of the whole thing. It starts out in the darkness oftentimes, doesn't it? And ends up in the light. I can think about the Apostle Paul and all that he went through during his earthly ministry and how he was taken from magistrate to magistrate and how he was whipped and how he was stoned and how he was shipwrecked and how he was naked and how he was hungered and athirst and all the persecution that he went through. How he was run out of cities for preaching the gospel of Christ and all the darkness that must have fallen upon him at different hours of his ministry. And yet at the end, he's honored and he's glorified and he's used the most right to use to write most of the New Testament books. His life goes from darkness to light, and we're still hearing from him today. I can imagine John Divine being exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of God and being there and on this rock pile, if you will, for the rest of his life. Well, we'll get rid of this old Baptist preacher. Let's put him out here on this rock island, and we'll never hear about him again. But he writes on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're still hearing from him centuries later. His life, which started out in darkness, is now still shining as a bright light in many lives today. So you see, it's not the morning and the evening that make the day. It's the evening and the morning that make the day for the Christian life. We go through something in life, and it's the evening, and it's a dark hour, and what's going to happen? We wring our hands, and we begin to sweat and perspire. We begin to tremble and begin to cry out, where's God? And we begin to wonder, what in the world's going on, and what's the answer to all this, and why me, and why are we going through this? Hey, listen, the Bible principle is the evening and the morning make the day. The evening and the morning make the day. We see young married couples go through this, don't we? Amen. I remember many moons ago, that's Greek for over half a century, when my wife and I got married, back when we were in love. And many moons ago, we'd moved to El Paso, Texas. And I'll tell you what, you should have seen our furniture. It was the evening, furniture-wise, it was the evening of our lives. I look back on it as the light because now we have more furniture than we know what to do with. But At that time, we had this. I found this plywood made black vinyl covered stuff with cotton thing that was about 2 feet deep and about 6 feet long, maybe, and 4 inches thick. And I brought home 4 concrete blocks and set 2 on each end and set that on it and pushed it against the wall. And that was our couch. And so guests would come over and sit on the couch. Here, have a seat on our couch. And they'd sit on that thing and lean against the wall. And I remember our first refrigerator. It was an ice chest. And we put ice chests in styrofoam. I just got word from the Holy Spirit correction. It was styrofoam. And the styrofoam ice, not that she's remembering or bringing it up, but there's a styrofoam ice chest that we had in the kitchen. And it was great. I buy bags of ice and bring it home. We put it in there. Then one day I started calculating and realized, you know, for all the ice I'm buying every week, I can make payments on a refrigerator. So I bought a refrigerator from Sears on time, brought it home. Oh, she was so happy. I got another kiss. And and the range that we cooked on, there was a guy I worked at in the office, and he liked to go camping, and he loaned me a 2-burner Coleman cook stove. And to put that on the counter in the kitchen, and no propane bottle and everything, and she cooked on that. And man, I'll tell you what, that was the evening, but now it's the morning. Now we have brand new stoves and new refrigerators and 2 freezers and 500 pieces of furniture. And oh, it's wonderful. We got furniture in the house. We got furniture on the back porch. We got furniture on the back front porch. We got furniture in the storage room. And today, your pastor had the audacity to get from Sister Wells a photograph of some furniture she's trying to get rid of. And then at lunch, he shows it to my wife. She says, "Oh, we could take it home." And as nice as I could, I said, "You got to be kidding." But the evening and the morning make the day. We start out sometimes as young couples, we want everything. I remember our first Christmas that we had the kiddos, and I'll tell you, we went out and we had a credit card, and we went out and charged everything for the kids for Christmas. Man, had a great Christmas until the payments started coming in. Toys started breaking. They started playing with the boxes that came in more than the toys. And took us a year to pay those things off. The evening and the morning made the day. Never have put anything on credit since then for Christmas gifts. Amen. And never have. Don't worry about the past that's behind you. Don't worry about the present because you're not going to get one. but you know the thing is, of the evening and the morning making the day, man, we got to have it. Got to have it now. Well, we just get, and young people today want everything their parents have worked 20, 30 years for. Or in our case, 51 years for. And it's just amazing how much that takes place in our lives, and we got to have all this stuff. It's an amazing thing. We see that in our, we've seen in young preachers, you know, I've seen it where they get their first church and they want to run a mega church the first year, want to realize that isn't always the case, and they get easily offended and so forth and take things wrong and misinterpret what people say oftentimes. Remember when I first pastored in Armadillo, Texas, well, the trustees came up and said, "Brother Martin, I'd like to visit with you after church about something." I said, "Okay." And man, that's all I could think about while I was preaching. I mean, you know, I was up there, first church. I wonder what did I do wrong? What's going on? So after church, I said, "Bye, everybody, real quick." I said, "What do you want to talk about, Brother McCurry?" He says, "Well, I was wondering if you and your wife like to go out to lunch." No, since then, if somebody says, "Want to talk to you about something after church," they say, "Fine, great, look forward to it." Doesn't bother me anymore because it's evening and the morning to make the day. But sometimes as young preachers, we have this anticipation of a large congregation. I knew of a preacher once. I've heard him preach a couple of times. He's home with the Lord now. He's a pastor in San Diego, and he used to pray and ask the Lord to give him a large congregation. Thought he should have a large congregation. The Lord answered his prayer and gave him a large congregation. After he'd pastored a while, he said, "Lord, would you give him a small congregation back again?" Oh, listen, sometimes we get consumed with grandioso scales, and we comparing ourselves with others. We go through things in life, and oftentimes it looks like a dark hour. I wonder if there's any light at the end of that proverbial tunnel. Yes, there is. There sure is, amen. We learn this by patience. We learn it by prayer. We learn it by not getting ahead of God. And we learn it by reading the Bible and getting examples. I say we learn it by patience. Psalm 62:5, "O my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." That's one of my life verses. Listen, we need to wait upon the Lord. and do what he'd have us to do. And, you know, this thing of being patient, that's a hard thing. Sometimes say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. But we need to be careful praying for patience, because patience is experience and experience hope. And we pray for patience, we're going to go through some experiences in life, but patience is needed in life. It's needed in life. And as we're patient, we see that the darkness turns to light. We go through this and the dark turns to light, not only through patience, but through prayer. But through prayer. Asking the Lord and praying to him and seeking his face while he can be found, and call upon him while he's near. And then waiting upon him, let him answer the prayer. Let him answer the prayer. And when it comes to finances, don't play high-level finances. Don't talk to your rich uncle about how much money you need. That's not prayer. That's just high-level finance. We need to be careful about this thing of prayer and laying it before the Lord. In fact, we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as God manifested in the flesh, and we see three main times in his life that he prayed. Once before he went to the cross in the garden, once while he was on the cross, and then after he came down from the cross, we see prayer about a part in all areas of his life and his ministry. And there ought to be a prayer in our life where in the beginning of our lives and during the middle ages of our life and later on in our life, we ought to be a people of prayer. It's an amazing thing if you look at the prayers in the Bible and how the Lord answered them, how they went up. My favorite one is Peter when he's on that ship in the storm and Lord bid me come to thee in the water, and the Lord said come, and he steps out and begins to look upon the winds that were boisterous and begins to sink. Well, Peter knew how to pray, Lord, save me. Three words. He said, O God, thou who hast created all the heavens and the earth and the universe, I call upon thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you might answer. He'd be drowned by then. He knew how to pray. Sometimes it's just a need to pray from our hearts for the need of the hour. If your wife is ill and you want to be raised from her bed of affliction, pray for it. If you have a financial need, get together and pray for it. If you have a need for a new roof on your building, pray for it. If you have a need for something in your life, pray for it. And then let the Lord answer in a way that's pleasing to him. We learn to see the darkness turn to light through patience, through prayer, and through not getting ahead of God. Boy, it's just so easy to do, getting ahead of the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6, though, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What a blessing that is. Seeking him, laying everything before him, and not getting ahead of him. How many times have you heard somebody say this when you've talked to them about something? Well, I prayed about it. Well, that's good. Are you leaving it with him? Are you leaving him? Sometimes people say, well, God knows. Yes, he does know. That's why we need to be careful about this thing of prayer and not getting ahead of God. If you get ahead of God, the darkness of the hour may last longer than it needed to. It always lasts longer than you want it to. And by not getting ahead of God, it allows God to work and bring the light of the truth of what's taking place into your life. And then we can learn how to wake up through the darkness to the light by example. I gave some examples a while ago then of Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and his brethren and Noah and the flood and Job and his troubles and John Divine on the Isle of Patmos. But nations have looked to the scripture for example. We've looked at the nation for Israel time and again in the Old Testament. See how God's worked in the life of his chosen people, the Jews. And we can look at churches in the New Testament and by it for example and see how the Lord works for them. In fact, if you take those seven churches in the book of the Revelation of Asia Minor and you look at them, and you can assess your church by that and say, how do we fit into that? Have we left our first love? Have we put the Lord first? Are we obsessed with riches? Are we content with what God gives us? Are we allowing false doctrine to come in, a Baal? Are we doing this? Are we doing that? And we can look to the Bible for examples and look to the churches and the scriptures for examples on how to be a New Testament church. So you see, there's all kinds of things in the Bible we can look to. If you're looking for wisdom, read the Bible. If you're looking for wisdom, ask him. He gives all men liberally and upbraideth not. If we're looking for wisdom, read the book of Proverbs and study it out. Well, what a great thing that is. You know, we live in a world that we see so much going on. We heard some more bad news today, and it seems like everything's so live, so real time, so instantaneous. Used to be, it'd be a few days or whatever before you get the news on something. Now, so it happens so often and so quickly, you're just swamped with, inundated with it. You can't get away from it. Is there a break anywhere? Is there any light here? Or is everything dark? Well, someday it's all going to be light. I read one book once. This is really good. But someday there's going to be a trump of God and the shout of the archangel. And dead in Christ are going to rise first. And those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Boy, that's good news. That's the light of the darkness that we're living in now. Someday all these kings and kingdoms will perish before the Lord. Someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe not today, but one day they will. Yes, they will. And that's that light that's going to take place. It's going to take us out of all this darkness that we're in and take us in the light of the gospel. He's going to prepare a mansion for us. You see, gated communities. I've read about a gated community. The gates are made out of pearl. You go into some communities and the driveway is paved with brick. Oh, what beautiful entrance to this gated community. Well, I've read about one whose entrance into it is as streets are of gold. Listen, and we talk about security lights at night. Well, Jesus is the light thereof and says he's eternal. And we're just going to go spend the day with him. I mean, we're going to go from darkness of this world to the light of heaven if we're born again. And, man, I don't know English, Greek, or anything, but I know Texan. And ain't that good? Man, that's gooder than anything we had down here. That's more better than anything we've seen. Yeah. And going from the darkness to the light, man, what a blessing that is. So the source of this faith is a scripture. It's a scripture. Because Romans 10:14 is still in the Bible. 17. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more time we spend in this word, reading it, hearing it taught, hearing it preached, listening to it, then it speaks to our hearts, the more light enters into us. Because he's the light there. He is the light. And if we're walking in darkness, it's not his fault. He's provided the light. He is the light. And so it is the morning and the evening. The evening and the morning that make the day. You may be going through something tonight. It just seems dark as can be. But the light's coming. The light's coming. And the darker it is, the greater the light shines. Back when I was going to junior college, you didn't think they had schools back then, did you? San Antonio Junior College, I was working the summers and on weekends, just north of San Antonio, outside New Braunfels, a place called Natural Bridge Caverns. And Natural Bridge is the largest cave in the state of Texas, if you will. And I was a guide there. And we take people through the cave. We get to the end down what they call the big room, because it was a big room. And they get to the big room and get everybody seated. And you've got this big old 5-cell flashlight. Remember those old silver flashlights, you know? You turn that thing on. But anyway, we've turned the lights out. Come, we're going to experience total darkness. Turn all the lights out. And everybody always goes, ooh. And then when we go, ah. And the guy goes, cool. All these responses. And turn the lights out. And you can't see anything. You give them a minute for their eyes to adjust, but there's nothing to adjust to. And so you talk about the darkness. Then you take the flashlight and point out certain formations. Here's this stalactite. Here's this stalagmite. And this stalactite. It's hanging tight to the ceiling. Stalagmite might reach the ceiling. And you show them all these water formations and everything like that. And point it out. And then you turn the light off again. And then they start. Enough darkness is enough for some people. And after a while, hope it's enough for you tonight. Hope enough darkness is enough. Huh? So after a while, you say, okay, we'll turn the light back on. So I reach behind me and turn the switch, nothing. Turn it on a few times, nothing. This never happened before. So I keep playing with the switch and tapping the side of the electrical thing. That's not real wise, but I had to do something. And I was reached behind, grabbed the wire, the insulated part, and shook it. Nothing happened. Tried to switch some more. Nothing happened. So then I have to break the news to him. And I turn the light on to do it. And I have to explain to him that the only way out is for me to take the light by myself, because it's not enough for all of us, and go to the top of this room and go upstairs. Go up to the top of it, and at the entrance or the exit, whatever, up there, there's a speaker, and I can call the office and come with flashlights and take us all out. And so I say, is everybody okay? And this lady says, can I go with you? And I said, it'd be better if you didn't, because it's kind of slippery, and I know my way and everything like that. And so I keep shining back at them once in a while and let them know. You know, they were so dependent upon that light, and I was too, but well, we need the light. I need this book. Amen. You need this book. Why? Because it's evening and the morning to make the day. Because you will go through some darkness. And when those dark hours come and you're sitting seemingly by yourself, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit lives within you. You got the Word of God to guide you. And the truth is, you probably have more light in your life than you realize. It's a matter of just using it and trusting it. And you'll find it's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, and that's all you need. A lamp unto your feet show you where you are. A light unto your path to show you where you're going. One step, one day at a time. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I trust him more and more. So the darkness of the evening turns to the light of the day, because it's the evening and the morning that make the day. Let's stand for prayer, please. Father, in Christ's name, I pray that you might take this simple message tonight. You might give someone here tonight hope and encouragement in a time of a dark hour. Oh, dear God, please, may we learn to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
All right. I don't know how the Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe you just need to do business with the Lord. Wasn't a salvation message, but if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, been dealing with that, been wrestling with that, tonight's a good night to make sure, nail that down. But I'm sure there's something in here that we can apply to our hearts and lives. So if God has spoken to your heart, and challenge you to come and spend some time with the Lord and do business with the Lord tonight. Would you come?
When we walk with the Lord in the light
come tonight.
Of his word, what a
times in the dark we say, where is the Lord?
On our way.
Darkness.
While we do his good,
Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It's great when the light starts shining, day starts approaching. It changes your attitude. Jesus is the light of the world.
For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey.
That's a Christian life, trust and obey.
And obey.
No other way.
For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust.
Let's sing one more verse tonight. Would you come?
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Be seated quietly while these are still here at the altar. All God's people said, Revelation chapter 21 says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And then it says in verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. And I don't like daylight savings time when it gets dark at 5:30, because anything you got to do outside, you got to have light. Can't do anything. And the verse 27 says, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, we get to go to a place where there's no night, no daylight savings time, no darkness at 5:30 in the evening. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Can you find that? All right. Well, appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you, Brother Martin, for your message. If you'll slip back at the back, and I'm glad my mother-in-law here, if you can follow him there. And so tomorrow night's a ladies' meeting back in God's house Wednesday night, and then looking forward to the good day Sunday. And Sister Paget, so good to have you today. Love the Pagets, and they were a part of our lives for many years. So let's all stand, and we'll sing Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul, have a word of prayer. And then we'll be dismissed. But thank you. Let's remember one another in prayer. Josh is sick tonight. The Hestons, others. And we need to remember them in prayer. So let's sing Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Ready?
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Salvation so rich and free.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Thank you for tonight. And God, we're thankful for the message. And God, help us to think about it this week. And God, that we do have darkness in our lives and hard times and rough times and tiles of trouble and temptation. And God, I just pray that we might remember that the light's coming, and God, one day we're going to live with you forever. There'll be no night, there'll be no darkness, and God, I pray that we might go away from this place ready to tell others about you and be excited about what you're going to do for us. Thank you for our dear people. I do pray for those that are not able to be here tonight. Pray for the Sanborns and the Hestons. I do pray for the Moyers, and I do pray for Brother Josh and others that are sick. God, that you might raise them up. God, bring us back Wednesday night, ready for a good night, and pray for this week. In Jesus' name, amen.